Hey everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols here with another Tactical Fitness Report. And today we are going to talk about standards. And this is a variety of standards throughout all tactical populations. One of my favorite sayings that I use, especially when it comes to standards, is, exceeding the standard is the standard. And don't ask me what the minimum standard is because I don't know it. Okay, so that's kind of the theme of my philosophy when it comes to standards, Jeff. And where did you get this idea of coming up for standards? Because this show idea is all Jeff's. He wanted to talk about standards. So what prompted you to bring this topic to the
Yeah,
to bear?
other than the fact that it was Catherine's idea to
Oh,
talk
okay.
about
There you
standards.
go.
Like, well, in the sense of, because it's like, how we were just talking off camera, like you've had this influx of questions that have been surrounded out around an idea. As of late, our questions have been surrounded the idea of standards. I mean, it always is. We're always dealing with standards, always dealing with standards,
Yeah,
like
and we
friends
should.
of mine, right, in the law enforcement, fire department, standards, always talking about standards and always, reaching out to us about standards, how to make them better, how can they impose or implement standards at their department, fire department, police department, unit, whatever. That's our job, is we negotiate, massage, talking about standards. Okay. So like, just as Stu is saying, hey, I don't know what the minimums are, so don't ask me, right? Exceeding the minimums is the standard. So my statement is this: it's like, every single selection course on the planet to be in a special unit or at a professional level, a high collegiate, whatever, like an organization which people want to get into. Every single one of those organizations has a physical standard. Why? Because they're really, really important to have high standards for high performance. Like, and I get it, where a lot of people, like on the leadership side, this is not about bashing leadership, this is where it kind of came from, is because a lot of these people that are reaching out to us are leaders. They're leaders in their department, they're leaders in their organization. They're like, ah, I'm pulling my hair out because I want to do this, but the department saying no. So I want to, can you guys help us generate a standard, right, that I can present to my leadership? And that's 99 out of 100 of these emails is somebody trying to convince leadership. So I always look back at and going to your point again, it's like, all of these organizations have standards. All of them do. Now, the problem is, as I think this came from, is my personal side, is that I'm wrong. I was wrong that all these organizations do not have standards. As a matter of fact, many, many or most police departments across the country don't have a physical standard of entry. Right. And so it's like, oh man, like, so I'm not in here to talk about bigger problems. I'm here to just kind of then focus on, like, what's the point of this? It's like, okay, Stu and Jeff are always talking standards, guys, always, right? There must be something to this. There must be really be something to importance of standards, right? And so that's what the one takeaway I want you to see is, like, these organizations that are coveted, like really desire to be in, like the SEAL teams, the Rangers, whatever it is, like those are very coveted positions. Okay. What's unique about all of those in comparison to other organizations that struggle with completing a standard is that in the SEAL population, the Ranger population, the Special Forces population, the MARSAC population, the PJ population, you see what we're going on here? All those very coveted Special Forces populations, the cadre work the standard with the students. And all of those organizations going through a selection also means that the cadre are going to continue on with that standard. What do we
And
not see in
yeah,
these organizations that struggle with the standard? We don't see the leadership population. We don't see the we'll call it the two platoon guy type, right? A guy that had been in the teams long enough to start imparting wisdom upon their younger guys coming through the teams. That's also why the teams do so well, is because that mentorship program within the teams is so good, because it follows that, hey, you're a new guy at Buds. Well, all of our Buds staff, all of our cadre can meet the standard. That's our standard. We're all going to meet it. And that is why our community that Stu and I love, and we come from, has given us so much, to continue to give so much. The standard is really good and it's expected. It's expected. That's why it's not like, well, let's find a way around the standard. No, Here is the standard here at Buds, and here's the proof. All of our cadre can do it.
Yeah,
that's what's special.
Yeah, if you think about it too, Jeff, I mean, the people that are attracted to these groups with very high standards are seriously motivated to hit those standards and go beyond. Yes. You know, they are drawn to that community because they have the standard. So a lot of people think that, you know, if we raise the standard, it'll mess up the quality of individual
Right.
Or the number of people that can come in, and you'll actually enhance the lot of people who are preparing for any of these tactical professions by having a standard.
Yes.
You know, yes. you'll do a lot less selection and assessment if you have that higher standard. You know, if everybody, like your last group that you had everybody take a test, they all, you know, passed to take the test, and yep. Now they can go in there and do that training. You didn't have to deselect anybody. You know, I think one of the hardest things to do is the deselection of massive groups of people that because your standard is so low, that your classes are so huge, that now you got to spend a significant amount of your time just deselecting people.
Yeah. Yeah. You really do. You know, but it kind of feeds itself, right? Kind of what Stu's saying is like perpetually the organization, we'll just call this Buds for what it is. Like, this is how we see it, right? You get guys going through Buds that want a higher standard, that demand a higher standard, and they're always going to achieve. Right. And that's what always graduates.
Yeah.
What ends up happening is that you just, you know, the front end, right? What we see on the front end is this huge delusion, or this peer's delusion. It appears to be because there's like, oh yeah, like I can just, you know, go and take my PST every single week. So what value is the standard? I get, that's my impetus behind this too, is like, I can see how some organizations can devalue the standard because what we talked about before, it's like, I don't believe anyone should get more than one chance of taking a PST. I do inherently believe that. Why? It forces people, the majority of the people, it's going to force them to take that first PST really seriously in their preparation. That also is a testament to the standard, because that's the other sort of common thread. I think that if you were to evaluate what someone's training program looked like prior to coming to Buds, I'm not talking about you and I, Stu. I'm not talking, oh, they followed Jeff and Stu's program. No. I'm just talking about the timeline before, is like, did they rush to achieve this standard, or did they train to make sure they could always achieve the standard, right? Did I just work out to achieve the PST that I wanted, or did I train to basically it's difference between learning and memorizing. I can memorize by practicing the PST, but did I really learn it? No.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I get it. You know, people have significant amount of time in the delayed entry program before they ship, sometimes up to a year. You know, you can be in a perennial failure of the PST for so long and still go in to training. But the problem with that, and this is really kind of a different topic, problem with that whole thing is you just get good at taking a PT test. You know, you're never really able to focus on the specifics of getting through the training. That's why there's really two phases to all of this. You got to get to the training by passing a fitness test, right? Then your training needs to enhance to a higher level in order to get through that training. And I don't care if it's Buds, if it's Ranger School, if it's Police Academy, Fire Academy, you know, there is a significant difference between that entrance fitness exam that, you know, I would say most law enforcement and firefighters take a basic push-up, sit-up, mile run, maybe a mile and a half run fitness test at the most, right? If they have that, right? And, you know, but their follow-on academies look nothing like that.
Right.
You know, that is a health and wellness test is all it is. It has no indicator on how your performance is going to be, you know, throughout the training program. So is there really a need to have that kind of a standard before you go? I mean, I think there is, because it will still, even though it's an easy test, it will take out a good portion of those people who can't do that.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be an asset.
I get the two of the world kind of like with the social dynamics of things are right now. People's like, well, yeah, but you got to make it fair for everyone. It is. It's because it's advertised. It's like, oh, well, like so-and-so Johnny can't pass the test. Like, well, it's incumbent upon little Johnny to go train. Right. There is this. And that's the thing too, is like, I've seen it firsthand on the academy side, the police academy side. I've seen it firsthand on the selection side of like, hey, like, well, I'm doing my best. My effort should count for something. No, no. Your effort is manifested in the numbers, not in the look on your face, the sounds that come out of your mouth. Nobody gives a shit about what's coming out of your mouth in terms of, oh, this person really sounds like they're making a real effort.
He's huffing and puffing.
Yeah. Like, so like, again, like, don't be mistaken the fact that whatever look you have on your face when you're giving the best effort you have, that actually counts for nothing. Keep that in mind. Okay. You know why? Because when you encounter a life-threatening situation, if you have the look on your face, like, oh my God, this is overwhelming. I don't know if I can handle the situation. The person trying to do harm on the other side of the situation isn't going to take it easy on you because you look like you're really struggling. Right. So leave that, leave the drama for someone else. You know?
Suffer
so
in silence.
You bet. And so I just want you guys to understand. It's like, this is kind of my position I'm taking for our job and for the community. It's like, hey, there's a reason why this standard is so high. It's because Stu and I, who, you know, fortunately have been able to experience the community, but aren't in the community. But what we do know is the guys in the community, they demand that level of attention. They deserve it. The community demands the attention of the people willing to provide that attention in the selection process. Like the process is the value, and that is the selection, right? Sure. So if we get rid of the standard, what are we doing? We're eliminating the process in which makes these communities so good. The people, right? If you eliminate the process, you eliminate the people that want that process, in which they can develop themselves in the process to be better operators. Like, the standard has got to be high. And anyone leadership-wise that thinks otherwise, you don't deserve to be a leader. And that's the reality of it. I think that's the trouble that I have, is like, right, how do we convince leaders that this is important? Because at this point, I don't see it.
Yeah, there's, you know, with the municipalities, you know, the police and fire departments, what they deal with, it is very political. I mean, it also gets political on the federal level, and even within the military standards, it's fairly political. But the local governments have a lot of politics involved in these answers, you know, why this standard is a certain way. There's a group that is pretty good. I mean, Cooper's Institute has been a physical fitness standards validator for decades. I mean, they create fitness tests. They're, you know, and they go into a tactical level, kind of, you know, but what they do is they validate a fitness test. They don't necessarily make really hard fitness tests. You know, it's not a super high challenging, but it'll stand up in court if you're trying to prevent somebody from getting a job. If you're trying to kick somebody out of the academy because they didn't pass it, you know, these are validated standards that are there if you need them.
Yeah. Right?
It's hard to validate, you know, people could always fight it in court that it wasn't a validated standard. If I came up with a fitness test and I think this, this, and this, that's probably not good enough to stand up in court. But the Cooper's Institute has it down.
Validate that. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole idea. There's got to be a governing body to create these, to substantiate these validations. You bet.
Sure.
Right.
But I will say this, the standards that they set, like I said, aren't super challenging, but they don't necessarily need to be. There just needs to be an objective grading criteria for people, especially as they're trying to enter these professions, that it is a yes or no answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't meet the standard. I'm sorry, you can't make it.
Yeah.
Kind of like height, weight standards. You know, there's black and white. You need objective grading points throughout this whole journey to meet. Otherwise, why? I mean, you're going to create an entity beyond training that is a group of people that are not assets to the community.
Right. Right. Let's put this in the context of a profession that we'd go, oh my God, imagine putting this context in a doctor, right? Well, you know, the doctor's standard become a medical doctor. And it's like, well, let's kind of just massage it. Let's not really have a standard. Do we really like go like, well, yeah, Jeff, but that's, we're dealing with like cutting somebody open on a table. Like, yeah, no shit. And you hand out a bunch of guns to people and you send them across the ocean to go, hey, there's tyranny that needs to be taken care of. We need you to make adult decisions. Here's some guns. Like, what are we talking about here? People are like, well, yeah, but we need a medical standard, but we don't need a standard for entry for where your job is to kill other humans.
Or like, save them.
Or save them, right? Like, what more responsibility is there, right? What's the difference between if you're a surgeon trying to save my life because I need surgery, as opposed to, hey, I'm in a conflict, bullets are flying, I need to preserve my life and others based on the skills and my aptitude that were taught in a selection and standard course. Just like college and medical school create a standard for our medical doctors, we cannot erode the standard, folks, because what we end up doing is we end up getting a bunch of Minnesotas, right? We get a bunch of people that don't think that they can police themselves, okay? Like, that is what we get. And it's like, we are going down a really slippery slope here by thinking that our politicians are going to be the one that's going to protect us. They clearly can't make policy, okay? So what our military does actually very, very well, right? It polices, right? It's not actually our police. Our military is what executes policy. So, but the military is great. The standard's pretty darn good. Law enforcement pretty good. Fire department pretty good. I just think that we as individuals need to support that current standard, not get rid of it or change it. We need to support what we've currently got, because we need to support the people doing it. That's what we're missing.
You know, I don't mind there being a fitness test to enter a tactical profession. In fact, there should be. I mean, and even then, that fitness test has nothing to do with how good a police officer you are going to be or how good a firefighter you are going to be. But it at least says, hey, I have the physical ability to handle my next step in training.
Like, yeah. My responsibility as a firefighter with other firefighters, I have a responsibility. Yes.
Yeah.
Or police or whatever.
And then there should be a maintenance type of programming that's a little more job oriented. You know, like I personally, like for the firefighters, they've been doing tactical fitness tests for decades with that CPAT fitness test where they're pushing ladders and, you know, carrying equipment.
I can't see they would ever need to change that. Really? Is it a perfect test? No.
No.
But the analytics they're collecting from it are good. Why? Because they have decided we're going to stick with this. We're going to keep compiling analytics so we have enough data points to make a decision. And they've done that.
Yeah. Something we used to do, there were a couple of SEAL instructors at the island that were really cool. Got me into this combat conditioning courses that they would do. And it was a mix of Bud's style workout. So you'd have to swim a mile with all your gear. Then you'd have to hump all your gear, like 2 or 3 miles. You have to do an obstacle course. And then you finished at the shooting range, did some shooting, came back, and you had to swim back out. And, you know, it was just a great, almost if you think about the 5 points of a mission, it kind of made sense to
You
know, go through that kind of mentality. And it was long. It was like 3.5 hours long, you know, but that was more of a job related fitness activity.
Yeah.
It wasn't a fitness test. You know, you didn't ask your date one guys to do that. You know, this was a third phase. You're about to graduate, buds, and you did that. You know, these are a type of, you know, what I think are great job related training programs that make you stay an asset in that community. you know, whether it is an annual CPAT or it's an annual post test, you know, police officer stamina test, or, you know, however you want to call it. You know, to just show some of the classic events that occur. You know, they've created a lot of these, like the Marine Corps combat fitness test is very similar to what they would be doing by running and, you know, zigzagging and changing directions, carrying ammo cans to go replenish some ammo and then run back and then carry a body. You know, there's a lot of cool events there that are job related.
You know,
police officers have the same thing. They have something where they're sitting in their car, they get out, they have to grab their gun, they have to run up and down steps a couple of times, run through a window, jump, you know, go through a door, run through a window, and, you know, then come back, dry fire five times with your strong hand, five dry fire, or, you know, five with your left. You know, that's, you know, that's things like that, you know, you wouldn't ask day one guys to do.
Right. Yeah.
But that the standard increases, the need for standards increase as the journey throughout your training and your active duty time increase, you know, especially as you age, you know, you have a likelihood of diminishing your abilities to meet those standards. You know, there's a reason why older SEALs are now in training departments.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah. And put this, guys, in context too, is like, I want to kind of see if I can frame this right in my brain. It's like, okay, good transition here a little bit, kind of to wind down my last point was like, okay, we're talking standards to get into these, all these organizations are standards. Okay. When you're a police officer, firefighter, military, every 6 months, 4 months, depending on the timeline, you have to do tests called an eye test, hearing test, blood work. Those are all tests. Why? They're trying to create a stand. They're based on a standard norm for health and wellness. Got it. Okay. So start thinking about this. Okay. I've taken on a job where I have to be physical. I'm a military infantryman, whatever it is. Okay. And every 6 months I got to go to medical and I got to do blood work. Got to do it. Got to get my ears checked. Got to get my teeth checked every 6 months. Why? Well, because we have to make sure that human being is capable to do what? His job. Go to combat. There's a standard to that. What if their blood pressure is high? Well, what are we going to do? Well, you can't go do your job. Why? Because you didn't meet the standard. Why? Why? Because I didn't meet the standard of my blood pressure, can I not go be a soldier? Because the risk of dying based on that blood pressure is higher than you being in combat. You have just become combat ineffective because you can't stay healthy, right? The fact that our military pulls your blood every 6 months, why? To see if you're healthy enough to go to combat. If you're not healthy enough to go to combat, why the fuck are you in our military? That's my point. Like, you are not fit enough to go serve this country. Why are you wearing a uniform? Why are you being allowed to wear a uniform? Why? That's my point. If you are a police officer and you can't meet the standard, you need to go away.
Yeah, I will say this.
How dare that guy tell me? I'll fucking take the Pepsi challenge against any police officer in this country. Not to challenge them to make them look stupid, but to challenge them to go, listen, your standard is important. It's important to your department. That's the reality. Why? Well, how important can it be? You're not letting people come into your department that can't meet the standard. Why are you allowing people to stay in your department who can't meet the standard? Now you not only have police officers that aren't capable, you're paying them to be incapable.
Mm.
Fix your standard. Like, I don't know why, what the problem is fire them. Wait a minute. All of you leadership would have to fire yourselves. You should be ashamed, right? But if you're a military leader that's keeping the standard, and that's what we get so many emails, and I know you do too, from like I said, middle tier leadership. They're not the chiefs. They're not the captains and the admirals typically.
Yeah.
Generals. It's like, we're talking like lieutenant commander, lieutenant, sergeant level type people going, I've been doing this for a decade. We got to do better, right? And so this is me venting for them.
Yeah, and that's fair. And I'll be devil's advocate real quick. I've always said this, like, the entrance exam is there for a reason. It's a health and wellness test. Not going to tell you if you're going to be a good officer, police officer, firefighter, whatever. Then there's a job-related fitness test that should occur. And we're slowly evolving towards that. Army combat fitness test, Marine Corps combat fitness test, Navy human performance test. Starting to go in that direction, right? Starting to be a little more challenging towards all the elements of fitness that are taxed in combat situations versus just push-ups, sit-ups, and running a mile and a half, right? Like I said, that just says that your heart beats fine and your lungs work, right?
Yep.
But I will say this, you know, depending on your job, and let's say you're not an infantry guy, you're a supply guy, you're logistics, you know, that fitness test for you to maintain that job can be different. It doesn't have to be a hardcore, you know, combat related fitness test.
No.
But it needs to have still a standard. You know, are
it needs
healthy?
To be the minimum. And that's what I'm saying. It's like what Stu and I are saying is like, we're not saying our police chief needs to be doing the most or, you know, admiral. That's not at all what I'm proposing, folks. I'm saying that there is a minimum standard. If it's important enough to deselect to come into your department, why is it not important enough to maintain as a current operator?
Amen.
Like, that's all Amen. I'm saying. It's like, like we can scratch our heads all day about that rationale of try to create excuses of why our leadership doesn't have to. But at the end of the day, right, if you're wearing a trident, you're a SEAL. At the end of the day, you're wearing a badge, you're a police officer, a firefighter. What other standard is there if you're still allowed to wear the uniform?
Yeah. And, you know, all we're really saying is there are significant numbers of members of the tactical population that do not adhere to any standard. They don't have one. Or if there is one, they're below it, but there's no recourse for that person being below the standard.
Right.
And that's a problem. And within the military, you will get eventually, and that's a long eventually, you eventually get kicked out of the military if you are constantly failing fitness tests.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that magic number is, but I mean, they give you plenty of opportunity to address any physical challenges. Yeah. And we're not talking about hardcore fitness tests. We're talking about
minimum standard Navy
and a mile and a half run. Yeah.
Yeah. And all that too is like you said, it's a zero consequence free environment, right? These people that will get discharged from our military for being out of physical standards, they get administratively separated. That's not a bad thing at all. So like I was saying, you can come into our military, completely let yourself go and have no consequences for it. Because why? You're probably going to get left. You're probably going to leave military as a service disabled veteran because you're obese. Right. That's the scary. Yeah. Cause I know somebody that's done that.
It could happen. I mean, it could also happen with a situation where you injured yourself and now it has snowballed into that situation as well. But there are some that
totally possible. Yeah. But again, but the other side too, is how many people that we know that's had catastrophic injuries that still did not. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like we all know people that lost limbs and went back to combat. Why? Yeah. Because they could still exceed the standard. Like, right, I know someone that put me through sniper school with one leg. He did all the training with us. He's one of the sniper instructors, the command. Like he still to this day does it all in sniper school with one fucking leg. Like, what's the excuse, people? What's the excuse? You know, like, I've got two good limbs. Why? What? I will never ever teach human beings. I'll say that what Dan Gable said. Dan Gable said, and he's held true to it. He goes, I will retire. If you don't know who Dan Gable is,
The
winningest coach in collegiate in world history, right? The University of Iowa Wrestling. Outside of maybe John Wooden or the soccer coach from North Carolina. But he said, I will retire as a wrestling coach at the University of Iowa when one of my wrestlers can beat me. took him into their 60s. He took him into his 60s. 63 was when he finally retired as athletic director there.
Damn.
The wrestler finally beat him. 63.
That's hardcore.
You start like, okay, like now, do I hope that I can still do all this stuff into my 60s? You bet.
Yeah.
But that's the point, right? Is be the example. Don't just live on the accolades of our past.
Yeah, I love it. You know, this has been kind of a fun rant on standards. I will say, Jeff, I have made memes on standards, you know, with rule number one, don't ask me what the minimum standards are. I do not know. If your first question to one of us is, hey, what's the minimum standard to be a Army SF guy?
I have no idea.
No idea. I just know you need to crush that test.
I just know you need to kill it.
Yeah.
I just know in my head what sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get somewhere around 100 pushups, somewhere around 100 sit-ups, somewhere around 20 sit-ups. Run an 8:30 or 9 minutes, something like that. In that case, there's no swimming with SFAS, but it's like, do that.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a really good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And be able to do that consistently.
Right.
Not like on your best. This is my best. Like, no. What if you were to take 5 PSTs over the course of 5 months, what would your PST score be? That's what it would be. That's what it should be.
A good 100 high average. Yeah, close to 100, 120 pull-ups.
Yeah.
You roughly. Know, 6 minute mile pace.
Boom.
You know, if you can go faster than 6 minute mile pace, even better.
Awesome. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, that's what I look at and go, guys, like, this is all real doable. And you know, people either find, you know what I'm going to say here. You'll know what I mean. People will either find comfort in the standard, or the standard will always be something that's their nemesis because of the way they approach it.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, one thing I have found is that the motivated find the teams.
Yep.
You know, and yeah, everybody talks about motivation and discipline and all that. Yeah. But, you know, there's an old saying that the motivated find the teams. If you really want to do a certain job, you have a goal, you really have to be motivated to a point where you don't have to ask me, hey, how can I motivate myself to train every day? I want to be a Navy SEAL. I'm like,
yeah,
that's the wrong question. You know,
the conversation should be.
I just tell people you should consider another job, because my job is not to motivate you to serve your country.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
My job is to help you, you know, guide you in a certain way so that you can achieve all those above average goals. So you are now an asset and you can crush this PT test to get into the training, and you can crush other specific standards, whatever, you know, selection program you're about to endure. And then you need to learn how to maintain all of that when you're an active duty operator, no matter what tactical profession you're in, and adhere to those. If you don't have them within your community, have a personal standard and have some pride, because if you don't, you're not an asset. And the one thing about a military mindset or even tactical profession mindset is that we all train to be an asset, because our job is to have the physical abilities, have the tactical, applications that we've learned, have the creativity to get through problems, and all of that makes you an asset to be helpful in situations that are life or death situations.
Yep, exactly. You know, there you go.
That's why there's a standard.
Yep, because we can't spend any more time talking about, man, I wish I would have prepared. The tactical population can no longer afford to go, man, we should have encountered these policies when they were an issue 6 months ago, 3 months ago. Now, we can't, with the state of things are right now, we can no longer not be that asset. You're right.
Yeah.
Too much time. There's too much time that's lost in negotiating what standard should be. Point is the standard should be a standard. And even if you don't know what it is, keep the old standard, right? Because the old standard is going to give you enough information. Well, like, that's the thing, is constantly changing your standard isn't the idea. Understanding what your standard is measuring. And that's the big thing, is like, people don't even know what their standard is measuring, right? As long as we got sit-ups in there and people are using that as an ab test, right? then we are way off, right? Like, we're way off. Like, I get what their point is, but it's like, we should have that honest, like, what is this testing? What is this plank testing? because it's not testing your abdominal strength. You know, is it part of it? Yeah, but that's not the real. I just want you guys having these honest discussions about what's being tested is super helpful too. Like sure. When someone goes, well, man, like my runtime, like I can't, what's the deal with it? And then you have an instructor goes, well, hey, this is why it's important to have, to be able to run 10, 30 mile and a half. Oh, okay. Well, but my X and X hurts. Okay. It's because of X and Y, right? But that's the problem, is that a lot of that inherent experience isn't in the, you know, it's like you and I have seen so many athletes that we can have that conversation, but it's not, that's, I guess the big problem is it's not reasonable to have our knowledge and information be immediately accessible for your general military population, because our profession doesn't exist in the military. Not really, you know, as a contract, you know, of a, like what, 25 guys across spec war
yeah.
are kind of, you know, but that's for the active duty guys. Typically that's what their fun. That's what their payment. That's what their job is dealing with active duty SEALs, Rangers,
sure.
not the guys in selection. So yeah. Here we are trying to help you. That's all.
Yeah. Good point. I've, you know, been doing this for over 20 years, and I've, the reason why I've been able to do it is because there is a wide group of people looking for answers prior to service.
Yeah. Cause they're trying to prepare properly, right? Do the best right. they can.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're saying, is like, we're trying to make that better for those people.
Yeah.
Those like you and I, and so many of you that are listening, it's like, yeah, that's for us. Like I'm trying to do the best I can. That's why there needs to be a standard for people like you. Yes. Yes, because we want these programs to be awesome for the people, right? We want you to go through SEAL selection or Ranger selection and go, yep, that's exactly what I came here for. I came here to get kicked in the butt and come out better for it on the other end. Yeah. Yes, that's yeah. exactly what it's there for.
Yeah, it's so, yeah. If you don't have it, you're going to wind up, if you don't have it for yourself, a high standard yes. for yourself, you're going to wind up not meeting whatever minimum standard it is. You know, whether that is getting to the training or through the training, and or you're going to wind up getting hurt. So that there are standards there for a reason. And typically what I have seen locally here, we got a couple of good police academies, state police academies, really good here in Maryland. And they have a really good standard, and they go by those numbers. And they say, if you can't meet this standard, you have a blank percent chance of either failing out or getting injured, right? Yep. And they can draw it right from the fitness test going in. I mean, there's reasons why you got to keep these standards going. And personally, I think make them harder, but
agreed.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Or just at least make them specific to what's yes. being tested.
Absolutely.
And advertise what's being tested, because then you say, hey, well, like, oh, I failed on my run. Okay, yes, but we've identified that it's a strength endurance thing, not aerobic thing, based on your splits. So sure. here's the exercises we need you to go do afterwards. That's what's missing.
Yeah.
That's yeah. what we do.
Yeah. Good point. So let's get off the rant.
Yeah.
And that was a good one. I like that one. So what's new with Jeff, and what's going to happen? I'm so glad 2020 is almost over with, for one. What's happening in 2021 for Performance First over there in Virginia Beach?
Yeah, good question. We're hoping that the pools will open up here so we can have people in pools. That would be nice. I mean, you can get people in pools here, but it's like onesies and twosies. You can't teach. You can't even rent pools here, like as a big scale, like we've done in the past. So hopefully that happens. Hopefully that weirdness lifts, for the business. Cause there's so many guys I'd like to get in the pool with as well. But then again, you know, the next couple months, we're just going to do PST clinics here periodically after the holidays. And then looks like probably May timeline, I think, is we're going to do another 6 weeks.
Oh, nice. Like
that. So stay tuned for that. We'll advertise through social media and whatnot. But that's the plan of the next couple months.
Cool.
Yourself?
I'm probably going to wind up writing a new program. Based on what we discussed a couple of weeks ago, remember when I had the idea of creating this block periodization during my winter lift cycle?
Uh-huh.
It's like 4 weeks of strength followed by 2 weeks of PST related training. And there's a reason for this is I wanted to keep my guys that are leaving soon, you know, solid PST
ready.
Yeah. But I will say this, we've gone through 6 weeks of it. We've done a 4 week cycle of strength and a 2 week cycle of PST related training. And the 4 weeks just wiped us out. I mean, it is amazing, you know, how reduction of volume, we were barely running, did a little bit of swimming, but it was just pure lift. And the recovery from lifting is hardcore. I mean, you got to really, I mean, my wife was telling me I'm overtraining. You know, you look like hell. I'm going to sleep at 7:30. You know, it's, I mean, that was beat. And then these last 2 weeks have been awesome. You know, I got off the weight. So we just went into some little more running, a little more swimming, a little more calisthenics, you know, a couple of easy days and then a test. And everybody's feeling so much better. They're not taking naps in the middle of the day. Yep. You know, so many instruments like that. And so what I've learned from it is, you know, guys who ask, hey, you know, in this program that you have mainly calisthenics, running and swimming, how should I add lifting to that? Right. And I've realized mainly over the years is that I really wouldn't do a lot of lifting added into that specific cycle because you're really trying to focus on muscle stamina and endurance. And any lifting really wipes you out. I mean, you can really burn the candle at both ends on that if you do that. So this 4 week of strength has been really good. I could see people's numbers getting better on the, you know, I think the most we ever did was like body weight bench press. You know, we didn't go very high on this first 4 weeks, same with squats, maybe body weight and a half. So it was kind of lightweight, moderately lightweight, depending on your abilities. But this next 4 week cycle, it'd be interesting to see the 2 weeks off, how that answers, you know, some recovery from that strength. Cause typically for me, coming from my background, I take 2 weeks off of lifting and I'm so much stronger coming back, you know.
Yeah,
whereas I take 2 weeks off of running, it's like I've never run before ever. You know, I mean, that's just me. So coming from that background. So anyway, I'm gonna focus on that a little bit and use some of your block periodization style training instead of, like for me, I've been doing seasonal strength training.
Right.
And I've always been wiped out, you know, at the end of that strength cycle. I was like, man, I'm so ready to go, get out of the weight room, you know. Now I'm a lot more refreshed with that 2 week little break.
Break it up.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just some,
make it a little bit of conjugate.
Some things I'm just testing out and playing around with, and I'm seeing some good results from it. So
nice. Yeah. Sometimes a break is good. I mean, just taking, like I said, just changing your stimulus is good.
Yeah. Yep.
But it helps. It helps a lot. Yeah. So, but I think especially now, like winter, like everything's just, everyone's just trying to figure out new ways because we've just kind of all been on this little, like, it's been almost a year now, right? Since really February, it's like, what's going on? Like, fortunately, we've had the weight room for the most part, but even then, it's like still trying to break up some of the monotony.
Yeah, I remember when this whole thing first started, I was thinking, oh man, that sucks. You got a COVID birthday. Oh, that sucks. You know, you missed graduation. I was like, we all are going to have COVID birthdays.
It sucks. It's a very COVID Christmas. It's been a very COVID Christmas for sure.
Yeah.
Got the COVID Christmas tree up. We got the COVID house decorations up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We just decorated our whole house with just dirty masks we found in the street. That's all we do. We just decorate it, you know, because it's awesome. You just walk around the streets and just see dirty masks
populating
the ground. So we just pick those up and use those house decorations. So, yeah. Anyways, but anyway, yeah, we're you know, we'll stay busy. Like again, I'm already over the winter, so hopefully warmer weather's on the way here, and
then
we can just get outside more too. That's the other thing too, is that's what saved, like, for me. It was like when COVID, you know, March, April timeline, like when the weather really started warming up last year.
That was perfect.
So nice. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that again. So
yeah, we're toughing it out. We're still our outdoor weightlifting workout sessions. And
we finally got a heater.
Yeah. We got outdoor heaters now. So it's good. You know, you just got to keep going. You know, the last thing you want to do is stop. I think when you first, when we first had our, we had our first tactical fitness report when all this started, you were like, you know, this would be a really good time to deload. Right.
That was, well, hopefully, that was 10 months ago.
Yeah. Hopefully you didn't deload for the last 10 months.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, a couple of weeks of deload, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing it's lasted this long, but damn.
I know. Here we are. All right.
Yep. What are we going to do? Hey man, thanks for the conversation. And,
yeah, man, we'll do it again.
Yeah. You guys wondering where Jeff Nichols is. He's at performancefirstus.com.
Yeah, it's Stu Smith Fitness.
Yeah, StuSmithFitness.com over here. So have fun searching what you want to do. So
we'll do it again.
Yeah, whatever the standard is, exceed it. There you go. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
We'll see you.